We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 30th chapter, verses 12 to 22. The gopis search for Krishna. Verse 12. Baham piyamsa upadaya kahita padma Brahmana jastana sikari kulat madanta Anviyamaya inavastaravakarnama Kimva pinandati charam kanayavaloka. O trees, we see that you are bowing down. When the younger brother of Ram walked by here, followed by intoxicated bees swarming around the tulsi manjaris decorating his garland, did he acknowledge your obeisances with his affectionate glances? He must have been resting his arm on the shoulder of his beloved and carrying a lotus flower in his free hand. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjala Sharakaya Chakshamani Chanyena Tasai Shirave Namaha. So what do you remember from the first class? Anything? Adi Purush.
First, the book is asked if male trees.
Male trees, first.
And female plants.
Female plants.
Motionless,
pious
trees.
And then the deer. Okay. Then the deer. Okay, anything else? Remember.
There's only the deer who looks as if he was going to help them.
It looks like the only deer were their only friends in merciless Vrindavan, the deer. Because they used to remember last year, the deer, they used to worship Krishna in the same way as the gopis. Remember how they used to worship? With their eyes, with their glance, yes. They would offer arti in their glance to Krishna. And the gopis would also offer arti to Krishna every evening when he would come home from the forest. And the deer would do the same. So they also have lotus eyes like the gopis. Okay, anything else? Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. First level of Unmad. Yeah, last level, yeah. Okay, different levels of Unmad. We heard about basically the first and the last. And here in this one, we're going to hear about the medium level, middle level of Unmad. And also the last is also in these. Actually, we won't hear it until tomorrow about the commentary that which describes Unmad by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That will be for tomorrow. Anything else? Lilishma.
There seem to be parallel pastimes between the Gaura Lila.
Yes, yes, yes. There are parallel pastimes between Gaura Lila and Vrindavan Lila. We will be always trying to, especially in the Rasa Lila section, there's very much parallel pastimes. Tomorrow we'll also see that. Even now in these verses, we'll see how Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Radharani and the gopis. Also in the mood, not only the mood of Radharani, he's in the mood of the gopis who were left by Krishna. And this is what he was feeling his 18 years in Jagannath Puri. Was it 18 years? I think so. The last 18 years of his life. Yes. 24 years he took sannyas. At 6 years he was traveling. And 18 years he spent just relishing these different feelings of the gopis. Every night he was like maddened with the feelings of the gopis in separation from Krishna. Anything else you remember?
So the gopis, they realize they were proud.
They realize why Krishna left. They got proud. Prabhupada gives us a warning that it can happen to us. If we become proud, Krishna will change his attitude towards us. So we have to learn this lesson from the gopis. Yes. How to be mad. Actually, if you're a mother, you can have that experience sometimes. I know one time I was in the ocean at Goa. And my son, I was with my two-and-a-half-year-old son, and he had like a little tube on him. But he didn't really know how to swim that well. He was 2 years old. And then one big wave came, and he disappeared. And I was like mad. Oh, my God, where's my son, you know? He's somewhere in the ocean, and I can't see where he is, you know? I'm just like madness. And then he come, and then just not even a minute, I think, the wave had washed him to shore, and he was like holding on one hand onto his tube, and the other hand he was kicking and swimming. And so then I felt okay. So that madness we can sometimes experience, the madness of separation, although this is a material example. Yeah. Anyway, I have so many examples of that with my son, because before he was two, he got his first wheels and he took off and somewhere in the village across the highway, and oh my God. Anyway, so the gopis are mad feeling this separation from Krishna. Anything else you remember? Okay, we'll read the purport. Now, these trees we heard about in verse 11, so we remember who they are. No, that was the deer. Okay, it's this one. Trees that are bowing down. We heard about these trees last year. Krishna was glorifying the trees because they were bowing down to Balaram. But now they're asking the trees that, we know you're bowing down. Did Krishna recognize, did he acknowledge your obeisances? Purport. The gopis saw the trees bent over with abundant fruits and flowers, were offering obeisances to Lord Krishna. The gopis supposed Krishna must have recently passed that way, since the trees were still bowing down. So that's pretty quick. He must be very close. Because Sri Krishna had left the gopis to go with his favorite consort. They were jealous, and thus imagined that he had become fatigued from his loving affairs and was resting his left arm on the soft shoulder of his beloved. The gopis further imagined that Krishna must have been carrying a blue lotus in his right hand to drive away the bees eagerly trying to attack his beloved's face after smelling its aroma. The scene was so beautiful, the gopis imagined, that the maddened bees had left the Tulsi garden to follow the two lovers. Lord Chaitanya, Antalila, 15th chapter, from verse 49. The gopis then came upon many trees so laden with fruits and flowers that their branches were bent down to the ground. The gopis thought that because all the trees must have seen Krishna pass by, they were offering respectful obeisances to him. To be certain, the gopis inquired from the trees. To stop the bumblebees from landing on the face of his beloved, he whisked them away with a lotus flower in his hand, and thus his mind was slightly diverted. So this is Lord Chaitanya. Exactly the same. Did he or did he not pay attention while you offered him obeisances? Kindly give evidence supporting your words. Then Lord Chaitanya says, separation from Krishna has made these servants very unhappy. Having lost consciousness, how can they answer us? Saying this, the gopis stepped onto the beach by the Jamuna River. There they saw Lord Krishna beneath the Kadamba tree. So this is Lord Chaitanya's vision. Standing there with his flute to his lips, Krishna, who enchants millions upon millions of cupids, attracted the eyes and minds of all the world with his unlimited beauty. Lord Chaitanya saw the transcendental beauty of Krishna. He fell down on the ground unconscious. At that time, all the devotees headed by Srupa Damodar joined him in the garden. Just as before, they saw all the symptoms of transcendental ecstatic love manifested in the body of Lord Chaitanya. Although externally he appeared bewildered, he was tasting transcendental bliss within. So Lord Chaitanya was tasting these pastimes, and he was himself feeling what the gopis were feeling. And he actually fell unconscious, whereas the gopis didn't, because why didn't the gopis fall unconscious while they were having these emotions? Yoga Maya was following them like a shadow, and she prevented them from falling unconscious. Antya 15 from verse 49. Hare Krishna. So Vishnu Chagravati Thakur also comments on this verse. He says, when he was passing by here, did Krishna acknowledge or not with his loving glances the obeisances of you? So this is how How does Krishna acknowledge the obeisances? Now, that was the good question. If you're thinking, well, all these trees are offering obeisances, now how does Krishna reciprocate with his glance, loving glance? Did he reciprocate your obeisances, who are offering your fruits and other gifts, into his hands? Alas, alas, why is it only saintly persons like you who are in the mode of goodness get the opportunity to have his affectionate glances? So they were jealous of the trees who got to see Krishna. But then, let us follow these swarms of bees, other gopis say. It is not proper for respectable persons. Oh, let us not follow these swarm of bees. Yes. The swarms of bees are there, and they're saying we should not follow these bees. According to, yes, Rupa Goswami, he's worshipping the bees. But here, Vishwanath is saying, no, we shouldn't. Some gopis are saying, don't follow the bees. It is not proper for respectable persons to follow after those who are blinded by intoxication. And so now they're saying, these bees are drunk, so we shouldn't follow them. Otherwise, it is not respectable for us. Now, Nanvrindavan Champu, this is page 295. There is something here about the bees. And in here, they're even questioning the bees, the gopis. Seeing swarms of bees, the gopis remark, the bees have gone mad from smelling the sandalwood-scented breeze blowing from a distant source, namely the flower garland of some gopi whose body is exuding a divine fragrance. Beckoning the bees, they inquired, oh, gentle bumblebees, tell us, why have you given up the nectar-filled flowers just to buzz madly around in the sky? From the excited humming of the bees, the gopis understood that Krishna must be nearby. So they said, why did you leave? Why are you just flying around crazy? Thinking first, the gopis walked gingerly over the fresh grass. To confirm their suspicion that the earth was shivering in ecstasy, the gopis asked, oh, Mother Earth, can you tell us why your bodily hairs are standing on end? So then that's the same thing. Cannot be due to the touch of Vamana's feet or the embrace of Varahadev. Your good fortune causes the animals and plants to tremble because at every step you get to kiss the lotus feet of Krishna. Because of this, he has slowed down his gait. So they're saying Krishna is going slower now. We can get his fragrance because the earth is kissing his lotus feet. Okay, verse 13. Let us ask these creepers about Krishna, even though they are embracing the arms of their husband, this tree. They certainly must have been touched by Krishna's fingernails, since out of joy they are manifesting eruptions on their skin. Purport. The gopis reason the creepers would not shown signs of rapture merely by physical contact with their husband, a tree. Thus the gopis concluded, although the creepers were embracing the strong limbs of their husband, they must have been touched by Lord Krishna as he moved through the forest. So when Krishna goes to Vrindavan forest, there's a certain ecstasy that the animals and the plants, they go into ecstasy, and they all try to offer their various gifts to Krishna. Even Arti, I can't remember, last year we were reading about how the plants and the animals of Vrindavan offer arti to Krishna when he comes to the forest. Does anybody remember, Adi Purusha, remember anything? Any of the does were worshipping with their glance? And anyway, so, verse 14. Now we come. We are finishing the weakest level of Unmad. Now we're going to go up a notch into the medium level of madness of the gopis. Verse 14. Having spoken these words, the gopis, distraught from searching for Krishna, began to act out his various pastimes, fully absorbed in thoughts of him. So, Nandavrindavan Champu. Now they have some self-awareness is still there, but they're losing it. They're starting to lose it now. They're losing their intelligence and their memory. They're forgetting, again, who they are.
Medium
level of madness. The lowest level, we just heard how they're inquiring. They know who they are. They're looking for Krishna. Krishna has left us. But now they're going into the higher notch of madness. They're imitating Krishna in his pastimes. So this is from verse 14. Now this is Nanda Vrindavan Champo, page 295. As the gopis reach the limit of their doubts, questions, and confirmations, their emotional stage of unmad gradually manifested the presence of Krishna within their hearts. So now in this level, Krishna enters their hearts. They can see Krishna. With their hearts purified by perfect knowledge, the gopis remain fixed on the right path, forever engaged in pleasing the Lord. No one but Krishna could control them. Changing their mood, the gopis entered a state of ecstasy by fully absorbing themselves in thoughts of Krishna's pastimes. Their distress of separation disappeared as they reenacted his various pastimes. So now, in this level, they're not feeling the distress of separation because they're imitating, they're with Krishna in his pastimes. Somebody is going to be Krishna, somebody is going to be Putana. Who would not be attracted to those pastimes that they had either heard about or directly witnessed? The killing of Putana and lifting of Govardhan, for example, caused wonder and astonishment. So now they're going from lamentation and these things to wonder and astonishment and identifying with Krishna himself. Again, this verse is quoted in the commentary to Brihadbhagavatamrita because the author says that the gopis were feeling expansive flames of blazing fire of love for Krishna. So Shukadeva, at this point, he could not utter the gopis' names. Because if he did, then the sparks from the flames of this intense fire would agitate Shukadeva and burn his heart, and he would be vulnerable to the danger of becoming too ecstatic. And Virabhav, he could not chant the pastimes of the gopis. So he refrains from mentioning the names of the gopis in these verses. Who is doing what? We have Bhagavatamrita again on this verse, 201. Here it is. Oh, this is a quote from First Canto, Bhishmadev. Let my mind be fixed upon Lord Shri Krishna, whose motions, gestures, sweet smiles, and loving glances made the gopis of Brajatam feel greatly honored. Those gopis in blind ecstasy imitated the activities of Krishna and became just like him. This is quoted from 1940. And it's Brihadbhagavatamrita 5, verse 201 in the second part, part 2. Part 2, chapter 5, verse 201. So Krishna favored the gopis with the highest honor by worshipping them with his own graceful movements and gestures during Rasa-lila. So Krishna's worship of the gopis is when they were in union with him and he was gracefully dancing and singing. And when Krishna left the gopis, they became as if blind. They couldn't see the means and ends of happiness in this world and the next. In this state, they acted out his pastimes and became just like him. They entered a special kind of trance in which their bodies assumed many of his excellent qualities. So now at this point in madness, the gopis are assuming in their own bodies qualities of Krishna. The gopis fixed in the Satchidananda spiritual nature then appeared worthy of worship by the entire world, able to deliver the universe and full of compassion for everyone. Now there's another meaning. When Krishna was away from the rasa dance, the gopis deeply entered his mind. So prakritim agam are the Sanskrit words. They assumed his qualities, prakritim agam, or they entered his mind, prakritim agam. Can mean two different things. And because of their extreme devotion while feeling his absence, they became the object of his deep meditation. So in this minimum stage, gopis are entering Krishna's mind, Krishna is entering their mind. And they're manifesting his qualities in this stage of separation. So they're glorified in the Padyavali of Srila Rupa Goswami. This is quoted here. I don't know if you know this verse. Vyogininam api padatimvo na yogino gantum api kshamante yadyeya rupasya parasya pungsa yuyam gata dhyana param tirapam. Even great yogis are not able to pursue your method of worshipping the Supreme Lord with the feeling of his absence. He is the proper object of meditation, but you have become the object of his. This is a perfection nearly impossible to attain. Though Krishna is the supreme goal, rarely achieved, of powerful lords of the universe like Brahma and other demigods, of self-satisfied yogis like Sanaka and his brothers, of pure devotees like Narada, of beloved consorts like the goddess Lakshmi, Krishna truly worships the gopis, endeavoring to attract them with his unprecedented and splendid pastimes. When the gopis are maddened in the height of their love and separation, they cannot discern right from wrong. So what a state of mind. Cannot discern right from wrong. So they imitate Krishna's activities and invade Krishna's own mind. Thus they are surely the greatest of all Vaishnavas. To be the only object of desire for these greatest of Vaishnavas, Krishna must be the Supreme Person. So this was a commentary on the prayer of Bhishma Dev, who was leaving his body and praying Gopinath be present before his eyes as he left his body. Commentary, and it's quoted in Brihad Bhagavatamrita as an understanding of what's happening here with the gopis. It's highest. Actually, Bhishma Dev was remembering the blindness, the ecstasy, the madness of the gopis in separation from Krishna in the rasa dance. So although it may not have been his rasa, but he appreciated it. Even you may be in a different rasa, but everyone appreciates that the gopis are the highest. Verse 16. Oh, there's something else here. Did we read verse 15? No. One gopi imitated Putana, while another acted like infant Krishna and pretended to suck her breast. Another gopi, crying in imitation of infant Krishna, kicked a gopi who was taking the role of the cart demon, Shakatashura. Verse 16. One gopi took the role of Trinavarta and carried away another who was acting like infant Krishna, while yet another gopi crawled about, her ankle bells tinkling as she pulled her feet. Two gopis acted like Rama and Krishna in the midst of several others who took the role of cowherd boys. One gopi enacted Krishna's killing of the demon Vatsasura, represented by another gopi, and a pair of gopis acted out the killing of Bakasura. When one gopi perfectly imitated how Krishna would call the cows who had wandered far away, how he would play his flute, and how he would engage in various sports, the others congratulated her with exclamations of, "Well done, well done." Now this verse, next verse, 19, is the highest level again, going up to the most intense. Sometimes they go to the highest and sometimes they go in different levels of awareness. Verse 19, another gopi, her mind fixed on Krishna, walked about with her arm resting on the shoulder of a friend and declared, "I am Krishna. Just see how gracefully I move." So again, Shukadeva is describing how the gopis, who are totally absorbed in meditating and acting out Krishna's pastimes, are under the sway of the Sanchari Bhav known as Unmad. So verse 3, verse 19 are examples of the most intense level, where you actually think and believe, "I am Krishna." Verse 20. "Don't be afraid of the wind and rain," said one gopi. "I will save you." And with that, she lifted her shawl above her head. Verse 21. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "O king, one gopi climbed on another's shoulders and putting her foot on the other's head, said, 'Go away from here, wicked snake. You should know I have taken birth in this world just to punish the envious.'" Then another gopi spoke up, "My dear cowherd boys, look at this raging forest fire. Quickly, close your eyes, and I will easily protect you." So, one commentator says, I think we'll read this maybe tomorrow, that the gopis who were playing the parts of the demons were actually Yogamaya, who expanded. They weren't actually gopis, because it would have been unfavorable for them to have that mood of demons. So maybe we'll read it tomorrow. It hasn't come up yet. But that is what they say, that she expanded herself and she became all of these different demons in Krishna Lila. And then when they finished imitating, then these forms disappeared. Yogamaya made them go away. So actually that's all I have for these verses. We'll finish early today. If anybody has questions or comments or anything to add, then we can add it. Yes?
You say that when you read through this, we experience these feelings in the material world.
Mm-hmm.
But not for the same reason.
Not for the same, yes. It's the love is misplaced. The love is, but we get an idea. It's a reflection. It's a perverted reflection of the love of, in separation from Krishna. So we have that because it's the upside down tree. So then we also we experience these emotions in the material world. Emotions are real, but they're just going in the wrong direction. That's all. They're misplaced. But in the spiritual world, the same emotions are there, but they're going in the right direction. They're going to Krishna, instead of to something that's temporary, that some temporary object of affection in this world, and temporary relationship as well in this world. But the permanent relationship is with Krishna, and the permanent emotions are with Krishna. So we are understanding, even in this world, some of these emotions may not be there. There's something you never experience in this world, this kind of madness. But some people may have this also. There may be this kind of madness where they start, talking to the trees, talking to the moon, talking whatever.
But also, there's also another, it's not exactly the same, is it? Because it's also blissful.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, the gopis, the difference is that here you have these emotions and you're in misery and you're miserable. But there, even the emotions are a source of happiness. It makes the prema more wonderful. It makes it deep.
It makes that point, doesn't it, that some people don't take the spiritual life because they're frightened of being a person again.
Yeah.
Suffering so much now.
Yes, right.
Thinking, I don't want to come back to this.
Yeah, actually those who have the impersonalist viewpoint, even if they're not Mayavadis, may have an aversion to this world because of their experience. You have experience of suffering here and you think, whoa, so much suffering is better. I don't have these experiences. Better not to love. Better not to have relationships. Better. And so they're actually afraid. And when we become devotees, and sometimes we see these aversions and these things come with us, that we're afraid of either of the material world or of relationships or of even ultimately of a relationship with Krishna. I was doing actually the japa workshop in Varshana. And we did one meditation there where you meditate on Krishna while you're chanting the holy name. And so one devotee told me that she was meditating on Krishna and like as a deity in her mind. But then all of a sudden he became alive and then her first reaction was fear. And oh my God, what now what? Krishna is here. And the reaction was fear. And in America, too, I did like this exercise also. And when Guru Kuli, she told me, yeah, I just wanted, he's there. Okay, I'm running away now. I'm out of here. Because what, now what? What's going to happen? If, Krishna is really there and it's me. And oof. Because you have bad experience in this world of relationships. And ultimately, it goes back to Krishna. That we're afraid of Krishna or having a relationship with him. So that is the problem of the gyanis, or those who are too much in their minds and intelligence and the scholars, they have this problem, this fear of relationship. And so that will come. For the materialistic people, it's more like attachment. Attachment, fear, and anger. That's vitaraga bhaya krodha manmayam mam upashitaha bhava gyana tapasa madputa madbhava magata. 4, Bhagavad Gita 4:10. That you're referring to. And so that is, yes, there's three classes. Some are angry, some are attached, and some are afraid. And Oh, this, just like you were saying on the commentary of the when Krishna welcomed the gopis, he says, "Do you want something, or are you afraid of something? Why have you come here? You have come here to get something, or you have come here out of fear something's happening in Vrindavan. What can I do for you? What do you want from me?" And the other one is there some problem in calamity in Vrindavan? And that is, what are you afraid of?
Escaping.
Or escaping, yes. Also, the impersonalists like to escape the world. And so they, yes, that fear is there. And so aversion. Attachment and aversion, two sides of the same thing. Anything else? Yeah.
What are the three levels of madness?
Yeah. That is described actually in the 24th commentary, in 24th verse. The most intense level is when you completely identify with Krishna and you're just like stunned. You're meditating very deeply that I am Krishna. Of course, you may be also acting. But then when you become a little bit more self-aware, he says the medium level is when you start acting and you act out the pastimes of Krishna. You're a little bit more like the other one. You're just like finished. You're just stunned. You forget. You don't remember anything. You're just like, you're Krishna for all practical purposes. You forget who you are. And then the medium level is where you get some self-awareness and then you start acting out Krishna's pastime. And the weakest level is when you're in your normal identity and they started asking the trees, where is Krishna? He's left us because we were proud. So that's the weakest. And that's described, we'll read it tomorrow, the first, right in the beginning of class, verse 24, about the Vishnu Chakravarti explains those three levels of madness, unmata. But a reason I brought it up today is because they're coming today. It's already happening. So it's good to be aware of it, of what's going on here with the gopis, how they're going from one level to another of madness. And here in today's verses was all three levels. And Vishwanath, he cites verse 3 and 19 for the highest level. And then the other ones, you can understand what levels those are. So even in these different sanchari bhavs, I think, how many, 33 of them there are? This is just one, madness. And then so things have to happen after madness, like death. Death is like the last, but they don't do that. Gopis don't go that far, because Krishna would not be happy if they went to death. The 10th level, they always call. Yes?
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else? You have any comments or anything? Okay. Any other questions? It's hard to have questions on these things, because, oh yeah, Damana Krishna.
Or we can compare, like, Nityananda was playing to a different pastime of Krishna, so these pastimes were due to his separation also?
Nityananda?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so the question is, when he was playing the childhood pastimes of Krishna, Nityananda, was it in the mood of separation? I would say that sometimes it was, and sometimes it wasn't, because sometimes he was in the mood of the coward. He was a coward boy. And sometimes it was, and all his friends were the coward boys, the gopals. So sometimes it may have been in separation, because Krishna wasn't, Lord Chaitanya wasn't there with him. So then at that point it could be, but then at sometimes he would be thinking that he is actually, yeah, it sounds like, but it's different for him because he is Balaram. He is Balaram, so it's like, yeah, he's, and that, and what happened in Ram Leela, he was Lakshman, and he fainted and when they were doing Ram Leela when he was a child. You know that, right? I think it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Nityananda was having a drama with his cowherd boys and he was Lakshman and then he got shot and he fainted and they couldn't bring him back. And so one smart boy said, one elder advised them, why don't you, whoever is Hanuman, should go and bring the mountain with the herbs. And you can revive him. Because all the boys, they just got confused and started crying, you know. When when unconscious. But then the old man told him, well, why don't you do that? And then they remembered, oh yeah, he told us when he goes unconscious, we should go bring the mountain and get the doctor. And yeah, so he actually was identified. I mean, he is Balaram. And we were hearing also how Krishna was identified. Well, that's different. It's Krishna and Balaram. The gopis were the devotees. They're Shakti. Shakti who was becoming, who were thinking they're Shaktiman. The actual Shakti was thinking, I'm Krishna. It was quite. And of course, we hear these pastimes when Radha and Krishna exchange roles. And yeah, I've heard this pastime somewhere in the Acharyas that Radha and Krishna, they exchange sometimes. And Krishna and Radharani takes on the form of Krishna and the color, and Krishna takes on the form of Radharani. And they completely believe that. And then she's playing the flute. And Krishna, in the form of Radharani, is coming to enjoy, and then he's just like the rest of the gopis, and he's so disappointed, he's so unhappy, and he's feeling all those emotions. So, yeah, in the spiritual world it happens.
Because the gopis there are also acting as...
Yeah. It's all in the medium, but at one point somebody slips into the highest there. While they're all in the medium level. They have some self-awareness, but somebody lost it there. And they go into the highest level. You know, it's all these verses are on the medium level, but then all of a sudden, and she lost it.
So and she's 20, where she's acting as Krishna, but she knows she's acting in that case.
Yeah. Who knows? But yeah, they say when they're acting, they're enacting the pastimes, then they're in the medium level. That's how you tell, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Yeah. It's a fine line to understand. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'm sure if you go and listen to the Bhagavad Katha, you may have get that interpretation, you know. I don't know Hindi that well, so, and I don't go to the Bhagavad Katas, but it's quite possible when they come to this verse, they may say, see, you can become Krishna. They may say, see. And they do that throughout Bhagavatam as well. You know, they take verses and use it their own way. So, yeah. Adiprush.
Krishna Chakravarti Thakur points out that this was not the hunger of upasana. In other
Acha.
Words, they were not worshipping themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were identical.
Okay, that's a really important comment. So the Mayavadis, they follow ahangra upasana. How do you say that?
Ahangra upasana.
That they worship themselves. So the gopis were not in that mood of worshipping themselves. They were actually thinking they were Krishna. They were Krishna. But at the same time, when they come back to their own self-awareness, then they realize they're separated from Krishna. Now they're in union. Union and separation, as Madhavananda is fond of saying. Union and separation. In the holy name, you will find union and separation. He was teaching us that. When we chant, then we're in union with Krishna, we're in union with Radharani, and with the spiritual master, because he is there wherever Krishna is there. If Krishna is there, and Radharani and the devotees are there, then your guru must also be there. So when we chant Hare Krishna, then we're feeling union and separation. Okay, anything else? Yeah, this is not a philosophical section here. Okay, so we'll stop here, and tomorrow we'll continue. Finish the rest of this chapter tomorrow. Verses 22 till the end. Oh no, 23. Verse 23 till the end. What's the last verse? Is 44. We'll finish this chapter tomorrow. Oh yes, tomorrow is Ekadashi. So what shall we do? Remember tomorrow is Ekadashi. Yes. Don't forget. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.